The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
You are my person. You are it.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. I love you so much.
What the fuck is this? I thought we're not talking about ball and chain. What are you doing?
This is not ball and
what
chain.
What is that?
It was just something weird that I did.
Okay.
And now it's... And I tried to keep...
Please.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe.
Welcome back to
Tea Time.
With you guys, too. That's us. Hey, we haven't done a solo in a minute.
Wow.
How does it feel?
Solo.
It feels terrific.
Third season of
Love on the
Spectrum. Is out.
And we
watched
love
the whole thing.
We binged it. It was so good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really good. It makes me emotional.
It is an emotional show. It and it reminded me of when we had Abby on our show, and I loved
that. I love
that
Abby. It reminded me of our love story.
It did?
Yeah.
Which part? All the parts? All the parts.
All the parts.
I'd
just
love
finding
to know.
Just finding each other.
Yeah.
Asking for that first kiss. And how I...
You know what I've never done?
Kiss you on your hand.
You know what I've never done and you've never done? Serenade me.
Oh, I've serenaded you.
With song?
Yes, with song.
When?
All the karaoke times.
I didn't feel like that was like a song you wrote for me.
Oh, serenade doesn't mean wrote. It means singing to.
Okay, but Abby like actually wrote a song for David.
Yeah.
And serenade. It was just, I'm saying.
Abby was giving like old school R&B vibes with that. I'm going to write you a song, boy, and I'm going to sing it for you. Okay, Abby with the players.
It was so good.
Yeah, it was really good.
So what else has been going on in your world other than watching TV with me?
That I need to tell everybody about? Not a goddamn thing.
Are you sure?
I'm good. I don't know, y'all.
How's your art going?
My art's going well. How's your decorating going?
It's
happening right now. What's going on?
We're talking.
No, we're... Okay. Hi.
How is your art?
It's going great. How's yours?
I don't make art. So, it's really thriving. Have you not ever done this before?
Not with you. This is weird. You're not, like, asking me questions about how things are going. Like, you don't see me every day.
Babes, we're catching up. We're shooting the shit.
Wait, for who? I catch up with you this morning.
So, what do you want to talk about?
You know what I want to talk about?
What?
I want to talk about the fact that sometimes when you put on freckles, I fall a little bit more in love with you.
That is so sweet. You want to talk about the fact that when I remember that you have a freckle right here and then you have a hidden freckle that I can't tell people about, but when I see that one, I love them. But the
you
one
want to
that
say right now?
The one the one under the nose?
Yeah.
Is epic.
I have
it's
one.
It's so cute.
Two.
It's so cute.
I have a
three.
I have a three. I'm starting to get more dots on my face.
Oh my God, are you going to look like Morgan Freeman by the time we're 80?
I don't know how I feel about that.
Do you think?
I don't know.
Is that where we're headed?
If I grow my hair out a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, the hair is fine. I was talking specifically about the dots.
No, he has moles. I have little, like, freckles that are coming out of my skin a little bit more. And it's starting to be like, what does that mean? I am getting old. I will be 40 this year, everyone.
Yeah.
And I do want to have a conversation about what you're going to do for my birthday.
Okay. Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, I want you to see my freckle again.
Just put your hand in the goddamn teapot. Just, we're cutting it short. Put your hand in the pot. Let's talk.
I thought we were thriving. I thought this was going well.
I mean, happy birthday. Show me your... Don't spill the... Wow. Wow. You are a comedic genius. If no one's ever told you that before, icon, legend, genius.
Wow. Oh. Ready?
Ready.
Love and marriage, love and marriage
goes together like a horse and carriage.
This I tell you, brother, you can't have me without the other.
Yeah, heard that, bitches. Hey, babe.
What up?
How does marriage feel for you?
You know, it's It's not as claustrophobic as I thought it was going to be.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. As a person who has claustrophobia, I can say I agree.
It doesn't feel like an elevator off of the wire. It feels like we're in control, but it's taken us a minute to get here.
I know. And this June is 5 years.
Goddamn.
Which is crazy.
That's a long time. Like, in lesbian years, that's like 20 years.
I feel like I've learned so much.
Name one.
About myself, about
no,
us.
No, about the marriage. Just
no,
about
I know.
Me.
I'm just saying. I feel like I've learned so much in these last 5 years about myself, about us, and how relationships are.
Name something.
I feel like I have learned about what a healthy relationship is actually meant to feel like.
For you.
Yeah.
Or for everyone. Or is there such thing?
I don't think there is a for everybody.
Yeah, me neither.
Because I think it's totally individual. I think it's co-created by us. Like, we're finding what works for us, what makes us happy, what keeps our mental health in check. But
no. I mean, mental health checks. Honey.
What's wrong with your mental health, baby?
It's fine.
But that has nothing to do with our marriage.
You're right.
But a lot of my mental health.
Sorry.
Are you, though?
No. Sorry, not sorry. Continue. How's your mental health?
How many shrooms did you eat today?
None. This is why I'm in a mood.
Oh, my God.
Please, marriage. I have a question for you.
Okay.
As baby Miranda was growing up in this wild, wild world of Earth, I'm sure there were a lot of marriage expectations placed on you by yourself and society that you brought into our marriage. Name one that has been obliterated by the relationship that you are now currently in.
First of all, I had no idea that I married Jack Black because that is such a obliterated. Anyway, I'll tell you one. And it's been... Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
First of all, it's also very funny to look at you and then look at 15 of me.
First of all, you like that shit, you Leo.
I mean, I looked really good in these photos, yeah, so period. I'm not mad at it. But then I also feel like, can I get back to this? I feel like she's lost it.
Just put on some red lips. Will you answer the question?
Yeah, I think it would have to be the bedroom situation.
Oh.
So, you and
You're about to tell.
I think we should.
Okay, let's tell them.
I think let's normalize it.
I like it.
So we recently moved, everybody.
Yeah.
And as we were decorating our house and realizing that we had less and less in common with our interior design, we were just sinking. And I thought to myself, if I want to save our marriage, no, I'm kidding. I thought to myself, we really function better in separate spaces.
Yes.
And not all the time, but especially when it comes to sleep. Mm. And you are such a sporadic, bizarre sleeper. And I really need sleep to function. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we should have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
And then we can each decorate our bedroom as we want, number one, which is great because you had a different vibe than
for
me.
Sure.
So we both wanted to have different styled bedrooms. Now we get to have that. Mm-hmm. And we aren't fucking each other's sleep schedules up. Primarily, primarily, you're not fucking mine up, which is getting up at 2 a.m., 4 a.m. Raven, babes, you love to sleep in the reverse orientation.
So, okay, let's pause. You got to speak. I'm going to speak now.
Okay.
When I was younger, I've always had a problem with staying in one orientation when I slept. My mom said that she would not like to sleep with me. You know how moms like read you a story to go to bed? And I would kick people when I sleep
with
them.
Your mom and I have talked about this together.
And so I remember when we got engaged, we slept in my old house, and you told me that when you woke up, my ass was in your face because I had turned my body around.
Okay, first of all, what I have to tell people is during that time, we would go to bed, you'd pass. Why are you smiling at me?
You
would
pretty.
Pass out, and then you would tackle me while you were asleep. So you would literally, like, she'd be fast asleep, and she would put her head here and then wrap your entire, like, I was cocooned into you.
I needed you in my life.
I could not move.
It's my love language.
But then one night, and I was okay with it. Like, it was it was cozy.
Yeah,
it was very tight, but it was also, like, very hot, but it was okay.
But like a 200-pound girl on top of this little
It was a lot. And then it was, like, the most intense weighted blanket ever. But you would finally, like, calm, and I could kind of, like, wriggle out.
Yeah.
Anyway, one night, You literally flipped your... I thought you were awake because it was so... It was so violent. Like, you were sleeping on your side away from me. You flip yourself up and over. You, like, kind of sit up. And then you had no clue where you were.
Not at all.
Because you put your entire ass, like, on my face. No. Both cheeks were suffocating me. Like, you just... Boom. Like, it was... It was impact. And I was like, this is going to be a challenge. So
but I stopped doing that when we moved out of the house. We got another bed. I calmed down. I think I was just showing you my love and how deep I loved you.
Yeah.
And being that you didn't take it that way, I'm offended. So now.
No, it was actually very sweet. There was something that was sweet about it, but the like ass
I went back into my I went back into my childhood sleeping.
And that's why your mom and I talked about it, because she was literally like, oh, you got to get out of that bed, because she will kick. Like, I had to get out of the bed with her, too. And it's a thing. Like, you're going to be black and blue.
So now we've decided that I'm sleeping in a separate room from you.
And I'm sleeping in a separate room from you.
Yeah. And when we need each other for any reason...
We text. It's perfect. It's really great, though.
It's but listen, but we also we do what we need to. I will say it has upped my for you.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of I believe in absence makes the heart grow fonder. And we work together, we live together, yep. We eat together, we cook together, we drive together. It's like I'm gonna have a little time to myself, and I think that it's actually helping.
I agree. I think that it's. And to kind of get back to your question. Which was so long ago, but it was baby Miranda or, you know, coming into marriage. What are your ideals and your expectations? I think that for me, if anyone had said this to me, even last year, I would have been like.
I mean, I did say that to you last year and you were like, are we divorcing?
Yeah, because the way that I was programmed was to hear certain things and automatically go, that's a red flag.
Right.
That's, and you know, TikTok does that to us. Like, parents do that to us. People, society does that to us.
Cisgendered couples do that to
us. And that was the thing, too. I was very much from a space where I was taking my information from heterosexual, this is the right way.
I also think that if you're basing your entire relationship on sex, then you're not really understanding what intimacy is. You're not understanding what deep love is, because you can have a deep, loving, intimate relation with someone and not have sex. Sex is like a cherry on top. You know what I mean? That's like it built up so much, I got to release. I don't think sex defines a relationship. I think sex is lustful, and I think that a deep marriage and a deep intimate relationship is where I can literally be just looking at you and I can be like,
yeah. And I know what that means.
And you know what that is. Yeah. And then when you build that, it's just like another type
of
feeling.
Say things like on the staircase to each other before you go to the left and I go to the right. I see you tomorrow.
That shit is sexy.
It is so hot. That is how you keep the love alive. No, but I...
But it's true!
But those things, I think I was so...
We're like better in our relationship now.
I think a lot of things have changed, though. Because I think that it's not just the separate sleeping. What it is, though, is for me, is feeling actually secure. Hmm. And actually what happened to me was I had a moment with myself where I was like, I don't want to live in the box that I have put myself in of feeling like if you're not shown this, that means that your partner isn't in love with you in these ways. If Raven isn't writing like essay long posts on Instagram about how beautiful she thinks I am, that means that she doesn't think I'm beautiful. Like I had all of these weird lists in my head of what would define correct love or correct love. I mean, it was not based in reality. And I think that for me, once I really just made the choice and commitment to let it go, there was freedom and understanding that like we have the right to create and define our relationship rules.
And you being able to understand my personal comfortability with expressing my love towards you, even though it doesn't fit the things that you were taught, I also have to be respectful of what you need to feel loved. And so therefore, I do it when I can. But I also know how important it is to be authentic with my version of loving you.
Yeah. And I think that is what you discover in long-term relationship. You start to understand a person more completely and you start to understand yourself more completely and you start to go, oh, did I have this idea or expectation or desire because it felt like society was saying I should expect that of my partner? Or is it actually really how my partner loves me? And I think that a lot of the time you end up missing, like I realized in a lot of ways that I was in my own way. I was not seeing the goodness that was around me because I was so anxious or so worried, or I was so impacted by feedback from other people. And I'm not talking about like the world at large. I'm talking about like girlfriends who would sit around and you have the da-da-da, oh my God, he didn't text you back? Are you kidding? He's terrible.
Oh yeah, and you sound like you're in elementary school with that shit.
But then the thing is also like, maybe he didn't text you back because he was busy.
Period.
And that's okay too.
Or maybe he didn't text you back because he didn't like you.
And that's a thing too. I think and all of those options are okay. Yeah. It's just for me, certain things got so caught in my head that I wasn't able to trust the security of a relationship.
Why did you want to get married? Don't say just to me, but just like, why do you think marriage is so appealing?
Okay, so for me, I wanted to get married because I wanted to have kind of like set in stone my person. And I wanted to build a life with somebody that I knew was my ride or die, was there, had my back, thick or thin, to navigate life together. So that's why I wanted marriage. I wanted marriage because I really wanted to build, grow, discover, love life alongside a person. I think that most people feel that way who want to get married. I think that that is kind of the universal appeal of marriage. And then I think there are some people who do it because societally you're told you are come to a certain age and you're meant to be married and have kids and do this, or people make choices out of fear or unhealthy places.
Do you feel that marriage has changed in the sense of, I believe that marriage has changed, meaning obviously it's changed from when it first started, which you got married in order to bring the houses together and create alliances so that lands could be built.
Right.
Then I feel like marriage changed into women can't handle being alone on this earth together, so you need a man type time period. Marriage now, I think, is left over sometimes from the thought process of, again, not being alone or, you know, wanting someone to, you know, live with or strengthening a house. But it's also a contract to where you can get better taxes and better health care and all that kind of stuff. I feel like I got married for a couple of reasons. The first reason was because I knew that I would be an adult when I got married. I have such bad arrested development that I couldn't marry unless I was an adult. And that helps me say, okay, you woke up today, you are your age, you're not a child anymore, you can live this life. I got married to you / a woman because...
You're gay. No, gay is for boys. I mean lesbian.
I'm a lesbian. I'm a lesbian. But also, I know that the relationship that I have with you / being comfortable in my lesbianness is a safer companionship than going with the crowd and marrying outside of my preference, which at a time in my life I thought I would have to marry a guy and have a girlfriend on the side. I knew that I would be absolutely devastated every day and sick to my stomach. But it was actually in my brain that I was going to marry a guy and then have a girlfriend and he could enjoy the girlfriend too. Like, it was a whole thing. You guys are nasty girl. But I literally was like, no. I have to get married to a woman because if I have to stay with someone for the rest of my life, I want to actually be happy and not get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just find that marriage has changed my thought process on relationships because, kind of like what you're saying, it's like I've heard those advice columnists and those people that are in these marriages that are pretty on the outside and disturbing and disgusting behind doors, and I'm not going to trust your opinion. because yeah. you're only giving your opinion from your side of the story slash what a textbook told you slash what you went to school for. But we are in the trenches. Sometimes it's better to learn on set than it is to go to school.
And I feel like if anyone is trying to give universal marriage advice, that's a red flag in and of itself mm-hmm. because people are individual yeah. and you can't assume like I can't assume that the information that I would have to give about what I've learned in a marriage would resonate with somebody else. Like, I can just do my best to be here and share what I've learned and what I've experienced and hope that maybe it resonates with somebody else or someone else can go, oh, me too. Or maybe somebody else can go, oh, you know what? Like, I've noticed that I actually really just like sleeping alone in my bed. And it's okay to say that in a marriage. And if you have the privilege to have yeah. the space to be able to say, like, you go over here and I go over here, maybe it's a guest room, a couch, whatever it is, and it just gives you that peace, cool. And maybe for other people it doesn't work, you know? And I think that the other thing that I've really realized in my life is I didn't have positive marriage role models. I had TV movie mm-hmm. role models, which is really based in fantasy. It's created. And I didn't have like a healthy day-to-day role model where I understood what a marriage meant. And what I have learned for us and where how I want to define marriage now is it is the ultimate best friendship.
Well, catch up, because that's the one advice somebody in my life gave me that I actually listened to. They told me
you just told me catch up. I was what?
Catch up. When I was younger, I got advice from someone. Okay. I got a lot of advice from this one person. I barely listened to any of it. But one thing that I did listen to was marry your best friend. Marry your best friend.
Okay.
I got that advice a long time ago.
I have heard that too, but the way that I'm saying it or the way that it now connects in my head is different. It's not marry your best friend. Marriage is the ultimate best friendship. And I think that what I mean by that is we have now almost been married for 5 years. Mm-hmm. I don't think we were best friends when we got married, but I think we're on the road to best friendship.
But I knew you were my best friend. I knew you would be my best friend.
I guess I knew you could be too, and I knew that you had all of the things, but when I go in, and I think here's the thing, when I broke it down and really understanding that, I'm like, what is a best friend? A best friend is a person that you can be honest with, that you enjoy being around, that you also can say when you need space, that makes you laugh, that you call when you have a hard time.
When you get angry, you make up fast and easy, and it's
you
okay.
You know how to recover. Mm-hmm. You have a sense of ease in your body when you're around the person. You don't have to perform. You don't have to worry about if you're talking or not talking. And then I was like, okay, so if those are all the qualities of, and I'm sure there's more, but that I can think of right now, that equal best friendship, long term, like long-term. Going through shit together. Like you and I have known each other now over 10 years.
Fuck,
like that's
at least 4 deaths.
Yeah, we've been through shit, but those are the building blocks, this foundation. I was like, but if then marriage is like the ultimate version of best friendship because yeah. you get to go even deeper because you've also
smelled like, your armpits when they're sweaty.
Yeah, like we have sex. We have seen each other in like really vulnerable positions.
Bad costumes during Halloween.
But good job. Good try. You know, she needs a script. Rude. I can do that because we're married. But you know what I'm saying? Yep. We've like seen each other in all of these different.
You can make jokes on another and you know you're not going to be mad. Don't touch me. Go sleep in your room. Take a nap.
Take a nap. Hilarious.
Take a nap.
It's just.
It's different. It's
my
different.
My mind is shifting. And also, I just want to say this too.
Yeah, keep going. Keep
because
talking.
Don't do me like that, because now everyone's going to say
you don't need a script. I
don't need a script. What I do need is the comments not to tell me to shut the fuck up. Don't tell me to shut up. That phases of love. And
yeah, we talk about
and we're in companionate love. And that's not like, ooh, I want to jump your bones. It's like when shit is.
Sometimes.
We have that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that's not that lustful, whatever. It's companionate love is that deep, deep fucking love where I know like, you are my person. You are it.
Yeah.
You're not going anywhere. I love you so much.
What the fuck is this? I thought we're not talking about ball and chain. What are you doing?
This is not ball and
what
chain.
What is that?
It was just something weird that I did.
Okay.
And now it's... And I tried to keep...
Please keep
I tried
going.
To make it a thing.
It's not going to work. You're not going to make fetch work.
Companionate love is what we have. And now I'm tossing the mic to you.
You always said to me, this is your longest relationship. I've had a longer relationship than this.
I know.
So you're going through things that personally I have been through before in a relationship.
You are my elder.
I'm your elder. And I'm excited to see how you handle when I start dipping into territories that I have not dipped into, which means at our 7-year mark,
yeah,
I'm going to start having different thought processes because I've never been in a relationship longer than 7 years. And you're going through this period and kind of catching up to where my brain has already been, reaching this 5-year mark. I say that to say I think that you are a wonderful partner when it comes to listening and empathizing and understanding and talking through things that I never really had or knew how to do and initiate.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting because in couples that have been together for certain years, everyone's learning about themselves in different phases of their life and they have to move forward.
Yeah.
But I think that a good marriage, and I will say this as a universal marriage tip, which you just said, who's ever doing it is a red flag. So put that red flag up right now. But I think that any relationship in marriage, as long as you are understanding that that is a whole separate person than you, they had a whole nother life before they met you, and that person that they were before is still in that body, and letting that person find their way through without it being defined by the relationship that you are in right now. And I feel like that's what I'm trying to do for you.
That is also what I was understanding in best friendship. Like, when you are with your best friend, you're not trying to make your best friend somebody else. I think that a lot of times in relationships,
they do that.
People are like, you know, we give our partners so much responsibility for us, and we put that on people, and that's a recipe for a disaster. Beyond. I think that you still
we have that to each other at the very beginning.
I mean, it's really natural to do that. It's what kind of happens. And I think that that's why a lot of people struggle in relationships. I think it's important to be clear with yourself and your partner about what you want and what you need and what your expectations are. But I think that it's also really important, equally important, to be able to look at that person and understand their capacity, understand where they came from, understand how they show love.
Understand that you fell in love with them before you started dibbling and dabbling in your ideas of who they should be.
Yeah.
You loved them before then. So if you get to a point in your relationship where it's just boom, 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 yo, step back.
But also that happens. I think that in every long-term relationship, you would most likely hear that a person say, we went through hell. We had a rough patch. You do. But that is also what a growth spurt is.
That is
you
what
see
a growth
that
spurt
in
is.
A baby. You see that. Like, people struggle. And then you have to get through the struggle to get to the other side.
That's
and
how
that
you
is...
travel. That's how you travel. You travel mountains and valleys, mountains and valleys, and then you can coast through a plane. Then you got to go through mountains and valleys again.
Yeah.
It's literally, but like you said, and I double down on it, it's about respecting the person and who they are and looking at them like the best friend. I know for a fact when we were in our trenches, I was trying to change you. You were trying to change me. We were trying to change each other. We were trying to, you know, show up to things as, quote unquote, the perfect couple because we know where we are and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, if we get down to the nitty gritty of what really is going on, we were out yesterday and I had on the most ratchetest ass sweatsuit and hoodie. And you were like, what I'm used to seeing you in. I was like, oh, yeah. But it just feels good to know you can always go back to that moment and kind of reset and remember.
Yeah.
Marriage is weird. You know, it's humans that do it only. There are some animals in this
penguins,
animal kingdom that,
dolphins.
That stay together for long periods of time. But only humans create paperwork and monetary value and expectations.
It's because we have thumbs. When it comes to the animal kingdom,
it's because of the thumbs.
It's because of the opposable thumb.
It's purely the thumb why I have to pay taxes.
1,000%, yes.
Yeah, for sure.
It is. But you know what? I honestly also think that marriage is, or a long-term relationship, when you commit, get out of here. When you are actually really in it with somebody, if you are partnered with the person who is your mirror, it feels scary And a lot of the time people dip out because it feels too honest and they can't face that consciously or subconsciously. But if you weather that storm and if you are willing to look into the mirror and face yourself, because ultimately that's what it is, you can go places that you otherwise wouldn't be able to get to.
Most and definitely.
It is fantastic. And, you know, it's fun, too. Like, we have fun.
We have a good time. I remember when I was growing up looking at one of the relationships that I was around and that was a married couple. I never really understood the married couple that forgot decorum.
Yeah, you can't.
And there will be moments, and I'm going to be 100% honest. I think I might have told you this, but I wake up and I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm in a house with someone that I didn't grow up with. I'm in a house with a stranger that I befriended and fell in love with. I need to be on my best behavior. And some people would be like, oh, but you're not being authentic. You're not being fake. It's like, it's not about that. It's about decorum. It's about putting your best foot forward and being the person that my parents raised to be good. Meaning,
yeah.
Compared to some marriages that I've witnessed where I think people forget that over time and their bad side comes out.
Well, sometimes when you become familiar with a person or you start to not take advantage directly, but you take advantage of just the
knowing
fact,
that they're staying.
Yeah, the simple fact of that individual's presence, mm-hmm. and you just expect it to be there, then yeah, you can go kind of internal. Like, you have to remember, if you're in a relationship, you still have to show up for that other person.
But when you say show up, because, you know, a lot of the times, especially in this generation, we just say these buzzwords, these buzzy sentence. When you mean show up, what actually do you mean?
I think it's different for every couple, but I think it's doing the things that the other person needs from you to feel secure, or the things that you need to do that keep things in balance.
Funny,
so
when you say show up, I feel like when I wake up, I need to make sure that I'm respectful to you, that I'm being the person that I wish to show to you,
mm-hmm.
and also catering to your needs. Is that the same thing?
I think we're saying the same thing.
Perfect.
It's showing up, like the way that I show up for you can be making sure that you have food. It's also looking at you and understanding that your energy has shifted. And then kind of going, ooh, her mood just changed. And is she okay? Like, I can see sometimes when your eyes change. And I'm like, okay, she's having an emotional moment. It's also, you know, when you call me, making sure I answer the phone, or if I leave, letting you know I'm leaving. It's thinking ahead that, like, if I don't answer the call, like, she might be worried. Let me just let her know I'm good. Like, it's those types of simple ways of showing up to make sure that my partner is taken care of, feels loved, and is never in a scenario where they're in any kind of discomfort or pain that I can easily avoid them or help avoid for them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So
that makes
sense. I think we're really good poster children for marriage.
I would never put that on us, Ricky Bobby. I don't think we're good poster children for marriage.
Whatever.
I think we're good.
I think
poster...
we could be good on a poster for marriage.
I think we're good poster children for talking honestly about our experience within this marriage.
Yeah. Do you consider me your handler?
Yeah.
Don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
No, I mean, let's break down what a handler is. It's someone that...
we can't even put this in the episode.
Yes, you can. Watch this. This is what a handler is.
What the fuck, you guys?
This is what a handler
you
is.
You know that you're the one who started the whole fucking thing about my period blood, so now you're going to start the handler
let's
thing.
Let's talk about the handler, because people like to talk about it. So in the world that I work in, which is Hollywood... You have celebrities, and sometimes celebrities go off the rails. They are drug addicts. They're this, they're that. They're absolutely crazy. And there's someone behind the camera that makes sure their life keeps going and looks good for everyone. And hold on, let me finish my sentence.
I don't do that.
A handler can be someone hired. A handler can be a family member. A handler can be a manager or an agent.
Mm-hmm.
People have been calling you a handler because you've made sure that I've taken care of my body. You've made sure that I'm smiling every day and that I'm happy. You made sure that I'm making better choices with my career that I wanted and didn't have the guts to do by myself, and I finally have someone to do it. You made sure that as a human, not as a celebrity, I'm taken care of. So for those of you that are using the word handler as a negative, I feel sorry for you, because technically you too have a handler. That's your mama. You too have a handler. That's your teacher. You too have a handler. That's the cops. Like, everybody has someone that you lean on in order to make your life a little bit easier. So for those of you calling her a handler in the negative way, go sit down. For those of you who are understanding how that can actually be a good thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're welcome. Because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here right now in this body, in this way. So go sit the fuck down.
You're my handler.
I'm trying. You I'm don't so like it. You're a Leo, so it's
I'm
hard
so
for
happy
you,
that but. We chose each other to be each other's handlers.
See? We're handlers.
Handlers. For till death do us part.
Handlers. Like, what the fuck are people talking about?
Handlers.
Stop it.
I love you.
Stop it.
I love you so much.
I love you, too.
Thanks for doing tea time with me.
Us. It's our show together.
Let's toast.
I don't have a tea mug this whole time.
That's your fault.
Tea time!
Flying in the teacup. Let's toast, babes.
Toasting.
Today we're toasting to Zelmyra and Herbert Fisher.
Yes, Zelmyra and Herbert.
According to Guinness World Records.
Oh, Guinness.
We love Guinness on Tea Time. Herbert and Zelmyra hold the record for the longest marriage ever.
Let me guess, let me guess, let me
okay,
guess.
Okay, 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 okay.
Longest marriage ever.
Mm-hmm.
110 years.
86 years and 290 days. Their marriage has held up through the Great Depression, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the Civil Rights Movement, and 15 presidential administrations.
I'm a little confused already. You know, me and numbers and letters don't go together. So you said 86 years and 200 and something days?
86 years and 290 days. So there's 367 days in a year.
Oh, 65.
And this is why we're married. Just cut it. Just cut it.
Well, there's 372.
And both of them at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Are we good?
You guys, we have two handlers that handle us. This is
it. We have two handlers. I love my handlers.
This is the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Zelda, I'm so happy for you.
Zelmyra.
I'm so...
Okay, I think that's... We're done.
No, no, no. We gotta clean it up. We gotta...
Oh, okay.
Zelmyra, I'm really happy for you. Next time... Are they still here on the planet?
I don't know.
Okay, they're no longer here on this planet. I'm really happy for them. They made it through all of those traumatic moments, and
yeah,
we thought our generation
bonded.
Was fucked.
Exactly.
So I'm really proud of them, and babes, I'm really proud of you for handling the haters the way that you do.
Aww. I have an idea.
Yeah.
Let's make our marriage to 86 and 291 days. Years, day. 86 years, 291 days. Was it 86?
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for watching Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. Don't forget, you can check this podcast out wherever you get your podcasts. Right here on the Tubes of You. You better subscribe. You better ring that bell. Ring that bell. And don't forget to watch an episode of Miranda Moments. Love you guys. Bye.